Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how's it going? How you doing?
I'm great and wanting to go to a water park now.
I have the complete opposite reaction. But, yeah, we'll get into that. A large part of this episode concerns water parks. Before we get into this week's episode, I do want to mention, please, if you like the show, please rate, rank, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. Really helps people see us, helps get us new listeners. Also, please tell your friends, tell your Simpsons buddy fans to listen. We really appreciate it. Really helps us out. On to this week's show. It is Brush with Greatness, Episode 7, F-18, originally aired April 11th, 1991, written by Brian K. Roberts. This is the only episode of The Simpsons he's written.
That's crazy, because it's fantastic.
It's a really good episode, and it's the only... He had worked on the show in different various production roles beforehand. This is the only episode he's actually written. He's went on to direct many, 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 many TV shows. If you've heard of a television show, he's probably directed it.
So he's a director, not a writer, which is cool.
Yeah, but he has continued to write some, but mostly direct. I think with the glut of television shows needing directors, he's kind of that journeyman who can do anything. Directed by Jim Reardon. Original broadcast finished 37th in the ratings. Nielsen rating of 12, approximately to 11 million viewing households. We've had a run of like 6 or 7 in a row. It's the highest rated show. This falls to second on Fox this week behind Married with Children. Beat it out.
Okay, well, is that because Married with Children was a great episode that week, or because everyone's like, oh, Ringo Starr is on this one? I don't want to watch it.
I don't know. It's hard to say. The Nielsen ratings are so, like, such a bad system. Yeah. It's really hard to, like, try and guess why. Oh, that's why. There's 5,000 people in the entire country decide the whims of the millions of others watching television.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. But chalkboard gag. I will not hide behind the Fifth Amendment. So that's that.
Hey, let's give no, a... screw you. That is your right to hide behind the Fifth Amendment.
In court, Matt.
So? That's also your right anywhere.
Is it? If I ask you a question, yes. I plead the Fifth?
I mean, that doesn't mean I still have to be friends with you, but...
I guess that's fair. Couch gag.
To the government.
Couch tips over sideways. Maggie falls off, lands on a couch cushion. Cute. I like it. Ringo Starr, as previously mentioned, appears as himself, the first Beatle to appear. They eventually do get Paul McCartney and George Harrison. That's a great accomplishment of the show. They managed to get 3 of the 4 Beatles, and the only reason they didn't get John Lennon is because he was dead.
Which you never know. They might work through that. They are the Simpsons.
No. I have my doubts, Matt. I have my doubts that they'll get John Lennon. But Ringo appears as himself, was a delight, apparently, to the staff. There's a memo sent out to everyone to don't gush over him when he appeared for the recording. But then the writer, Brian K. Roberts, went over to him immediately and asked him to sign the script.
Oh.
Apparently he didn't get the memo. Yeah, that's what his excuse was, but he wrote the show. I think he's fine. He got Ringo to appear on the show. I think it's okay for him to get Ringo to sign a script. Also, we have John Lovitz appearing as Lombardo, who does a really great job.
You know, I gotta say, I'm pretty sure that when it comes to guest stars, John Lovitz is an extremely close second to Phil Hartman in the number of times he was on and how great he is at everything.
Yeah, he's memorable. You remember the John Lovitz roles. And I think that's as much a product as the writing as it is his performance, but he does a great job every single time. And he's still appearing on the show, so there's that as well. At least when they want him on the show, yeah. I guess. We are going to start off our recap with a clip, because it's great. It is Krusty the Clown appearing on set for a week at Mount Splashmore, which is Springfield's preeminent water park. It's basically just a cash grab by Krusty to try and promote Mount Splashmore and get people to go. We have this song, Croon Along with Krusty. Here it is.
Live from Mount Splashmore, the Tri-County area's funnest water recreation facility, it's the Krusty the Clown Show.
Hey, kids! You know, today's the last day of our special week on location at fabulous Mount Splashmore. And I just want to say, the people here have been super to me and Sideshow Mel. The food, the grog, oh, they threw us a brunch yesterday with fresh fruit and the most delicious melon. Oh, yay, till we plots. And of course, the thing I'm going to miss most is those special, special Mount Splashmore water slides. God bless them. So much fun. So many memories. Give me a minute.
It has been a great week, hasn't it, Lise?
I hope all you kids come out this weekend and really pack this place just to show them how grateful I am. I told them you would. Don't make me a liar. Okay, kids, it's time to...
Fruit along with Krusty!
Yeah!
I want to go to Mount Splashmore.
Take me now!
This is a rather shameless promotion.
Hey, it worked on me.
Me too.
I laugh so hard at this song, man.
Oh, I know, right?
No. Just, and the animation really works really well with it. Plus, Dan Castellaneta as Krusty is like screaming is raspily now along with all these kids. It's great. And then we get the prerequisite. Will you take us to Mount Splashmore?
That's the best way to get parents to do what you want.
Just ask them, I have used it, and it has worked. Bart and Lisa ask Homer about roughly 1,000 times. We take us to Mount Splashmore, till finally he acquiesces, agrees to take them in bed. He's like, if I say yes, will you stop asking me? Well, of course.
Yeah, that's the whole reason.
Obviously. And so he agrees, and they go to the Mount Splashmore. Oh, this shot of Homer trying to squeeze into his swim trunks.
No,
that's not Homer. Go get new trunks.
Seriously.
Yeah, they're really,
they make them in big sizes now.
Yeah, you can get them as big as they come. It was the early 90s. So imagine there was a little bit more trouble getting, and he's probably an extra large.
Double XL at the very least.
Yeah. Which becomes probably the B story of this episode is Homer's weight. But they go to the Mount Splashmore, tons of great sight gags, tons of great, background gags, back sign gags.
This park is not copless, so please don't go topless, which is just sad.
Yeah, Matt, people who generally go topless are not the ones you necessarily want to see go topless.
Hey, it's never a bad thing.
I disagree. H2O, great name for a ride. No line until you get through the turnstiles.
Yeah.
Endless line. It's a reference to an M.C. Escher painting of just endless line of people to the front of the line. Both Bart and Lisa and Homer, respectively, find a way to the front of the line. Lisa starts crying for her mother, and Bart parades her right to the front. Homer calls himself a line inspector.
Absolutely. I mean, those line inspectors are very important.
As he eats a hot dog. I really do like Marge's swim cap. That's such a very small part of this scene, but she pulls her hair down in this swim cap and has Maggie in like a giant, what do you call them?
Oh, life jacket?
Life preserver, yeah, life jacket. In the 1-inch toddler pool. I like that the toilet pool goes from 1 to 2.5 inches.
And you got to stay in the shallow end because, you can't handle that extra inch.
Very dangerous. But first, Bart and Lisa go down the slide, and then Homer follows them. It's really great animation and really fun sequence with them. The echo, the sound design's really good. Their screams and shouts are echoing.
Bart's face is fantastic.
Yeah, it's like blowing around in the wind. Homer is flying down the slide. Until he hits a middle section of the pipe. You would think the pipe would be uniform.
You'd think so. And in addition, why are his arms at his side? You'd think you'd put them above you so that you make the slimmest profile possible.
Well, to be fair, there are a lot of those slides that have you put your arms down by your side. So I don't know. But regardless, Homer gets stuck. There is a jam in Delta Sector.
Yeah.
Too big to be human.
Of course.
We do see the squeaky voice teen. So I don't know. There's been reports of squeaky voice teens everywhere. He was supposed to be in Principal Charming. I don't know if that was really him. I don't know if it was really him last week either. This is definitely him. I can definitely place it. That is the squeaky voice teen's voice. But he just throws in like 6 or 7 kids, and they all get stuck behind Homer, their arms and legs poking out.
Which would be absolutely terrifying.
Oh my god. Imagine if you're like a 7-year-old kid stuck.
Hello, imagine if you're Homer, you're stuck in there, and you see these whole bunch of kids, and then you can't breathe, and it's hot, and just, oh god.
Well, they managed to get them out before they get him out, apparently, because they have to shut down the ride, take him out, get stuck, because they have to, he's on all the news reports, he's very embarrassed. Yeah. They have a news report from Krusty. This is the biggest incident since the recall of the tainted Krusty brand mayo. He's wiping his makeup off, which is apparently a reference to the Joker in the original Batman, the 89 Batman.
Yeah.
But we see Homer weigh in, and he's at 260. And that is a little ridiculous.
I don't know. It depends on Homer's height, because it's all, you know, based on height.
Average height. He's my height.
Then 260 would probably be a lot, yeah.
There was a time I weighed 255, Matt, in my life.
Yeah.
That was a bad time of my life.
Yeah.
Homer was right to feel bad. I felt bad. And I did something about it, and so does he. And that's that he proudly proclaims at the end of this, end of the act, he's going to go on a diet, and I'll always be hungry again. You know, a reference to Gone with the
Wind. Which is absolutely true.
Yes, he will always be hungry again. That's...
When you're trying to lose weight, you will always be hungry.
You're like, I guess I'm just going to be hungry. Let's play video games for 10 hours. Distract me.
Exactly. That's what always works for me.
Yeah. But with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, Homer is actually making good on his promise and goes up into the spooky attic because apparently their light switch is way far away from the door, or he just didn't feel like pressing it.
Or forgot about it, yeah.
And Bart turns it on for him and scares the crap out of him. And Homer is, of course, looking for his weights. And they stumble across a painting of Ringo Starr. And it's great because Homer pulls all this stuff out from in front of it and goes, and Bart goes, "Who's this? Who's the mop top with the big schnoz?" Which is the best description of Ringo Starr pretty much ever.
That's accurate.
It's accurate, yes. And they bring the painting down and ask Marge about it. And she's like, "Oh, Homer, he was very popular and I had a crush on him at the time."
I love the painting of her, the wedding painting. That's the best. I love it. It's like, and they're really good paintings too.
They're
Marge should start up an Etsy shop or something.
Seriously, because they are good enough that they would definitely sell to some hipster somewhere.
I'm writing a spec script for The Simpsons, Matt. Marge sets up an Etsy shop.
That would be a fantastic episode. You could totally sell that.
I'm going to work on it right after stop recording.
Okay. Then we see that it is pork chop night in the Simpsons household. And Marge is putting out the pork chop plates for everyone else. And of course, Homer, unfortunately, he doesn't get pork chops, despite it being his favorite. He gets steamed vegetables and rice cakes.
That's not a good dinner.
No, it's really not, because you'll be hungry.
Yeah, you should fill yourself up with food. This low-calorie food.
Pork chops aren't that bad for you.
And most pork chops now are cut, so there's almost no fat at all.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, Homer starts to take a bite of the rice cake and goes, "Taste? Hello, taste? Where are you?" Which we've all said to a rice cake before.
I often talk to my rice cakes.
That's true. And Marge tells him that he can put a little something on it for flavor. And Homer, being Homer, decides that, oh, this is obviously going to require, you know, a whole bunch of lunch meat, some cheeses. So he's not really taking it seriously, to be honest.
I he's easing into the diet. Small steps.
Mm-hmm.
That probably isn't necessary. With the rice cakes, it's probably actually still not that bad.
That's true.
Like, if you replaced, I don't know, bread, a slice of bread with a rice cake, it probably would...
Probably better for you.
It's calorie deficit there. I think it'd be okay.
Anyway. So, Lisa asks Marge about the painting. It's like, oh, so, you know, why'd you stop painting? What's going on? And we get a flashback to Marge in high school with her painting teacher, Mr. Schindler. And she paints a really good painting of Ringo Starr, but her teacher decides that, oh, no, that's terrible. Why would you paint this? Someone could have used this canvas to paint a masterpiece. Instead, it's ruined forever, and then throws it in the trash.
Dear Lord.
What kind of art teacher is this? That's the worst teacher.
And Lisa is, like, I love that Lisa's foreshadowing of this. Like, how was your gift squashed?
Yeah.
And that's exact, like, you're, as an art teacher, you're supposed to let people express themselves. And honestly, her painting is probably the best of everything they show.
Although, to be honest, the sad clown, it's technically accurate, technically good. It's just, you know, sad clown.
Oof.
That's just terrible. That's terrifying. Get it away from me. But Marge, being Marge, decides that she grabs the painting out of the trash and sends it to the one man who's a painting she can really trust. But Ringo never replies. Because, you know, he was a beetle, and he was busy.
He was a beetle, yeah. A beetle in the 70s might be doing other stuff.
Maybe just a little bit.
Maybe.
But Lisa suggests she take a class at the... Is it the Learning Annex? Is that what they call it?
No, this is not the Learning Annex. It's a community...
Oh, community college.
Yeah, community college.
So Lisa suggests that she take a class at the local community college. And Marge says, oh, I think it's a great idea. Homer, what do you think? And Homer, in the best husband response ever, do I have to do anything? No. Oh, great. Yeah, do it. Whatever.
Yeah, go for it.
And then we see the monstrosity he pulls out of the microwave, which is a rice cake with, you know, a foot and a half of toppings on it. I'm sure they're all low-cal toppings, mostly vegetables. But then we cut to Lisa and Marge at the community college, and they run into Apu. And Apu is taking a screenwriting class because he's got a great idea for a movie for an idealistic young Hindu pushed too far by convenience store bandits. And he's going to call it, are you ready? Off my jerky, turkey.
Yeah, that's really good. And this is the really first bit of character we see from Apu. This is the first time that he's gone anything beyond just being, hey, I'm that tropey convenience store guy.
Exactly. The first time you see him outside of the convenience store, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I can't recall him being
He's in crowd scenes. But he's not talking. No, he's not doing anything.
No. Which, seriously, if he made that in Bollywood, it'd be a top 100 easily. But so they go, when they try to sign up for the painting class, they have to go talk to the professor, Professor Lombardo, and he has to approve their portfolio, which is kind of weird for a community college, but sure, luckily Marge has a whole bunch of stuff she brought with her, and Professor Lombardo is voiced by John Lovitz. And I'm pretty sure this is the kind of person who should be every high school art teacher everywhere because he absolutely loves everything. I don't know if he calls Marge a genius straight out of the gate, but he's like, oh, Marge, there couldn't be a class without you. Marge asks if she's in the class. And then, of course, he stops to admire the guy painting the railing on the stairs on his way to the bathroom. Because that's the kind of great guy he is.
Lombardo's appearance was based on our teacher Jim Reardon had in art school. So really? he looks like an art teacher because he was based on an actual art teacher.
Probably back in the 80s, you know, that he was a leftover hippie.
Probably.
I can see that.
Pretty much a lot of art school teachers are still that.
They're still basically hippies.
Yeah.
We do a quick cut to Homer on the couch with his heavy hands, and Homer, of course, can't get off the couch because, you know, that's 2 pounds. That's crazy. How would he be able to move with 2 pounds on his arms and legs? So Bart pickpockets him. He takes his wallet and takes all the money out of it.
it's an awful thing, but it's just hilarious that Homer is so feeble that he can't even stop him.
It's just a quick gag. And then we switch back to the actual art class where you see Professor Lombardo teaching the Lombardo method where go ahead.
I think that's just how people draw things. I don't think it's a Lombardo
method. No, Robbie, it's his special method. God.
I think that's generally like... they teach every art student everywhere how to draw things. You base things on shapes and then you overlay actual figures over top of them. I don't think it's that complicated.
I mean, never taken an art class. I can't attest, but you're probably right. We should have Eric on one time. So
we should. I'm fairly certain just from conversations with Eric and watching him draw. Eric, good night. He was my co-host of my comic book podcast. He's an actually trained artist. He that's what he does. He certainly did not take an art school from Professor Lombardo. So,
but he still does that. So, you know, maybe it's an established method. We'll never know because we're not art students.
We'll never know until I ask Eric.
Never know. No.
Never know. Okay.
But anyway, basically, as Robbie said, his method is just to think of things as shapes and then paint over them again with the actual details. So with two concentric circles, various trapezoids and ellipses, even a rhombus, you can make an adorable little bunny rabbit.
It's a callback to Life in Hell. That is a Life in Hell.
That is a Life in Hell bunny rabbit. Yep. And of course, Marge, with the absolute positivity that Professor Lombardo brings, she's in love with it. She is having so much fun. We cut to Homer working out to Rocky music. I don't think it's Eye of the Tiger, but it's
the theme from Rocky. What is it called? It's gonna fly now.
Gonna fly now. That's great.
Yeah, it's gonna fly now. But it's not. I don't think it's exactly that.
It's kind of a variation.
Very close on it. Yeah.
And we see Marge painting Homer, and she visualizes him as a series of shapes. And, of course, the dominant shape in Homer is a giant sphere around his midsection.
Yes.
And, a little cone or a little cylinder on top. But basically, so Marge continues to paint Homer, and over again, a lot of his paintings are of him now. So we kind of see that Marge paints what she loves, and she loves Homer. So most of her paintings are of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to art class where Professor Lombardo is, helping out everyone. And of course, being Professor Lombardo, everything is spectacular. Every student gets a compliment from the teacher. But Marge, especially because she's so fantastic, he pulls her aside and tells her, oh, I will have entered you in the Springfield Art Exhibition because you are the best person in my class.
I think that's, it's Professor Lombardo is not a important character by any stretch, but I think that little moment shows that he's complimentary to almost everyone,
but he still knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's not. I think some of that is a put upon, like, to try and, like, a good art teacher should not necessarily to encourage people, but the fact that he takes Marge aside and says yours is actually the one I want to pick, I think
it's what every teacher should do. It's like you give everyone a little bit of praise, but then the good ones, maybe you pull them aside so that you're not saying, oh, you're the best in front of everyone.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that it shows a little bit. You can tell in the writing that even that gives him a little depth.
Absolutely. It shows him to be, what a good teacher would be.
Yeah.
But then we cut to the actual Springfield Art Exhibition, and they're doing the judging, and basically, they're moving the ribbon back and forth, showing you some of the other entrants. And my favorite is definitely the unicorn asking why.
He's like in front of a polluted something or other, like a nasty power plant in front of like a river. Probably the nuclear power plant, if
more than likely,
makes
yes.
sense.
But they choose Marge. Marge's bald Adonis as the number one. And this is such a great painting because it's literally Homer in his underwear sleeping on the couch.
I'm. Before we get any further, Matt, I'm looking right now to see if you can buy that painting. Can't find it. So, hey, you guys out there, if you can get any painters out there who want to do recreation of Bald Adonis, you've got a customer right here.
True. Robbie does have bare walls, and that's the perfect thing to go on them.
Exactly.
So they pick Marge as first place, like I said.
Woohoo!
And yay! Marge wins. She's fantastic. Homer's super excited that he's a work of art now.
Yeah.
And then we see Mr. Burns in his first appearance of the episode, and he's basically a mirror image with a painting of himself, which he hates. He says, what art school did you funk out of, you ham-fisted something?
Jackaninny,
thank you. Well, you ham-fisted Jackaninny. And the artist says, I'm sorry, I can't walk at this, and walks out, which is the most reasonable thing to say in that situation. And then Burns says, oh, that art school temper. Or, sorry, that your artist temperament. And you see, as they pan around the room, all of these pictures of Mr. Burns, all the portraits he's had done of him, and he hates them all. And, of course, he does. It's Mr. Burns.
And there's some sculptures in there as well.
Yeah, and they're terrifying, to be quite honest.
Well, Mr. Burns. Yeah.
So, he asks Smithers to find him an artist, a good artist. And Smithers says, you've alienated Springfield's entire art community, which I'm sure is quite large. At least judging by the number of paintings that Mr. Burns has, or number of pieces of artwork. Smithers suggests that the winner of the local art exhibition, Mrs. Homer Simpson, and Burns, of course, says who? Because,
Already.
Already. He can't remember the Simpson's name. He says, oh, of course, she'll do. Yeah, contact her. Somebody up there likes me, Smithers. And then Smithers, in, the beginning of the trope, says, somebody down here likes you too. To which Burn replies, "Shut up, Smithers."
And I do want to point out that there was people, like, there have been posts here and here and there in the news group about Smithers, you know, liking Burns, but they're this week they're like they're pretty overt about, because they've always suspected, but there's never they've never been sure.
Yeah.
And this week they're like, yeah, there's something there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And then we go to commercial break.
And when we come back, Homer is weighing in for the first time since he started his diet. And he's down 11 pounds, down to 249. That's
pretty impressive.
That's pretty good, yeah. That's
unless a couple months go by, and then it's okay. Not great, but it's okay.
Well, how long would it... I mean, I don't know the time frame, but any kind of weight loss is good.
That's true.
If you're on a diet. You can't... Absolutely. Everyone's going to have a different progress. But we get a quick cut to the nuclear plant where we see Carl, but we hear Lenny's voice. I thought they'd iron this out by now, Matt.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny because it's definitely Lenny's voice and definitely Carl. And you're just like, really?
I mean, that's the only a glaring flaw in this otherwise very good episode. Is the fact it's just so strange. But they see... We also hear, we see, basically its purpose is to show donuts stacking up in the break room at the plant because Homer's no longer eating them. And John Lovitz actually does the voice of a donut delivery guy.
They're like, oh, we need an extra person's voice. Hey, John, come over here real quick.
You just bought a boat.
Of course.
And now he's upset because he's worried about, you know, payments.
Which will start a trend of people who sell food having Homer put their kids through college, buying them, paying for their boats and their cars and their houses.
Yep. I was about to make the same joke, Matt. So yeah. What is it? We see Burns come to the Simpsons' house to basically he voluntold Marge to paint his portrait. Basically, yeah. He asked her if. They need it, what? What's the time frame? Like a week or so, or 5 days, or 2 days, or...
I don't remember.
Short amount of time. They need a painting for the opening of a
new wing.
A new wing of Burns Museum that he bought for the town? Like, they're not very clear about all that. It doesn't really matter. But she's like, oh, she shows him... Does she actually show him the paintings of Ringo? Or she just say,
no, she just says it.
I painted Ringo, yeah. So they ask her if she's up for it, like if they can. He asks her if she can make him beautiful, which that's a tall task to make Mr. Burns beautiful.
But Marge can see inner beauty.
Yeah, she is specifically. She says, "I have the gift of seeing inner beauty." Mr. Burns obviously doesn't know who Ringo Starr is at first. Calls him Ringo. Smithers explains, you know. Who he was, a drummer for a rock and roll outfit. And then Burns, oh yeah, I remember him on
the Ed Sullivan show.
What was he thinking? Yeah, no one ever remembers that at all.
Nope.
Burns spends basically he
spends a good bit of time in the Simpsons household.
Yeah, he spends
several days.
Yeah, back and forth and in basically being a terrible person. Like being abusive, insulting. He steals the funny papers from Homer. With Smithers is reading the funny papers to him. I think that's really funny. And Ziggy, will you ever win?
Of course he likes Ziggy.
Of course he likes Ziggy. Burns is just outright being horrible most of the time. You really don't like him, and that's the point. Yep. It's really designed to show you how bad of a person Burns is. And Marge, at a certain point, stumbles into the bathroom and sees Burns getting out of the shower completely naked. Ugh. Bart asks him if he has those spots all over him. And Burns is like, I heard that. Burns has like that reptile spine that I guess old people get when their skin is falling away from their body. But it's just supposed to show you, like, he's decrepit. Yes.
We know that. And disgusted. Yeah.
Yeah, he's old. We flash back to merry old England, and we get Ringo Starr doing his voice, responding to fan mail after fan mail after fan mail.
That has literally piled up around him. Nowhere even to set his tea, there's so much fan mail.
Yeah, there's a butler trying to bring him tea, and he's like, you don't really have to answer all this mail. And he's like, no, I have to answer everything. And, you know, he responds to a letter at the end with, forgive the lateness of my reply. I think this is also really hilarious because as I was researching this episode, there was this news story in 2008 much, much later, to be fair, where Ringo came out publicly and said, after October 2008, I'm throwing out all my fan mail. I'm not going to answer it anymore. And at that time, this episode obviously came up because in this episode, they make him stalwart in answering every single piece of mail.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's 20 years later, so maybe he got through all the important stuff.
It's Ringo Starr. I don't think he ever runs out of mail. Even as the least popular Beatle, he is... Well, now there's only two left, so if you're going to send mail to... It's either Paul McCartney or him. You might actually more likely send it to Ringo, because you're like, hey, Ringo's more down to earth. He's not Paul McCartney billionaire. Yeah. You know, he might actually answer it, but no. We flash back to Springfield. Homer's weighing in once again. Finally, and he's down to 239, kind of his default weight. I think that's the weight I think of when I think of Homer, is 239. And he looks like... I don't know if they actually made him look fatter than he generally is.
I think in a few of the looks they did, like when he's put on his swim trunks in the beginning, and maybe when he's weighing himself, but at this point he's back down to his normal model.
A lot of it is making, like, how the clothes on him
look. True, and the perspective.
And I think that, so he looks like Homer. He looks like normal Homer, and he's very happy to be down to 239, and that's pretty good, losing 21 pounds in however much time it is. He should be proud. He's very happy about it. Right away, Burns insults him really brutally.
Yeah, you're the fattest thing I've ever seen, and I've been on safari. Like, dang, it's cold.
It's really mean. Homer, starts tearing up, and it's like, I'll go be in the refrigerator if you're looking for me. It's really sad. But Marge at this point has had enough. She's like, get out. You can leave. I can finish this without you. I don't need you anymore. You know, Burns leaves with another cutting remark about needing
half a white Valium.
Half a white Valium if he was going to stay. Marge is kind of depressed because I can't make that man beautiful, is what she says.
Which is, not surprising. He's an asshole.
No, he's a terrible person. He looks decrepit and gross. And she's prided herself in being able to find the beauty in anyone, in anything. She can't. And to the point where she wants to give up. At just at that moment, she receives a package from Merry Old England herself. And we've actually pulled this clip. I quote this all the time. Here it is.
It's for you, Marge, from Merry Old England.
From the desk of Ringo Starr.
Dear Marge, thanks for the fab painting of yours truly. I hung it on me wall. You're quite an artist. In answer to your question, yes, we do have hamburgers and fries in England, but we call French fries chips. Love, Ringo. P.S. Forgive the lateness of my reply.
No!
Come on, Marge Payne. I think you can do it.
Okay, Homer. If you think I can.
So, Ringo has replied to Marge. He sees the painting. Gear. He calls it gear, which is... I don't know if that's an overt drug reference or not, but anyway, I really like him saying it. He brings a lot of personality to this. He is a personality, and he brings it all to his performance. And I hung it on the wall.
Yep.
I say that all the time when I'm framing stuff, because I'm him finally replying to her. It kind of re-emboldens her. She gets her enthusiasm back. She feels like she can do it. There's a montage of her, attempting to paint things with a song by Ringo himself. I could not find it anywhere, but the news groups come through again. I find more stuff on that news group than I do on anything else. They hunt down that, and they hunt that stuff down in 1991.
Back when that was really hard to find.
Yeah, no internet, and they had all this information, but it don't come easy by Ringo Starr. And Ringo's solo career has, he's obviously overshadowed by every single other one of the Beatles. Like, all three of the other Beatles have more popular solo career. But after they broke up, they all were successful solo artists. The world wanted more songs from the Beatles, and they would go to Ringo Starr if they couldn't get the Beatles entirely. And that's a nice song, too, from the little I heard of it. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a good rock song. She is at a Fury painting. And we finally get to the unveiling at the museum, at the gallery, whatever you want to call it. And you know, there's quite a crowd gathered, including Lombardo and obviously Mr. Burns and Smithers. And there's a big curtain over it, and Mr. Burns pulls it off, and it is him naked when she saw him getting out of the shower. Smithers faints. Yeah,
of course.
Lombardo is, for the first time, not complimentary.
It's the first time he has ever said anything bad about a pain, I'm pretty sure.
And he's like, I don't like that at all. But Marge explains herself. And I think this is a very poetic thing, and it explains how she solves this problem she's found herself in. And here it is.
Hello. My name is Marge Simpson, and I painted this. Maybe you'd like to know what possessed me to do it. Well, I guess I wanted to show that beneath Mr. Burns's fearsome head with its cruel lips, spiteful tongue, and evil brain, there was a frail, withered body, perhaps not long for this world, as vulnerable and beautiful as any of God's creatures.
Yes!
Oh! Provocative, but powerful.
He's bad, but he'll die.
She had struggled to find a way to portray Burns as beautiful, and she solves it by showing that he's an awful person, but he's still just a human. He's not a demon. He's not a monster. He's just a frail person. This is the way you can show his core humanity. Like, he's naked for all to see, quite literally. This scene is really, really funny because of the subtle placement of different things covering his junk. It's like there's a wine glass or a hand or a ladder. Like there's always one little thing right in the way. I love
Miss Hoover.
Miss Hoover. Miss Hoover's comment. He's bad.
But he'll die.
But he'll die. So I like it. And finally, the episode ends with Burns thanking Marge for not making fun of his genitals,
even though she thought she did.
And she's like, I thought I did. And then it rolls the credits. This is a really good one.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, if you guys had not remember or listened to the episode where we did a listener question for Marge, the best Marge episode, I picked this one as my favorite Marge episode.
For a very good reason.
It really shows Marge, like, being the best she can. Like, she's a caring wife and mother, and struggling to display herself artistically, and it really shows what is best. Like, one of my favorite things about Marge is that she does see inner beauty. Like, that's why she's with Homer. She sees what's inside of him. She sees that he's sincere, and the fact that she can find a way to portray the most evil man in this whole series as a way to, you know, make him look vulnerable and not a monster, it is a testament to her.
It shows that she is not only a good person, but she is very insightful. She can see what other people can't see, and she's also a really good painter, so she's incredibly talented at that. So you get to see, yes, Marge is a great person. Everyone was right.
Yeah. It's and besides that, it's a very funny episode. It's really a lot of good jokes, a lot of good gags. That my only complaint probably is the fact that they have Lenny's voice as Carl.
Yeah.
At a certain point, it kind of takes you out of it. And Burns is completely obnoxious during his time in the Simpsons household, but that's
supposed to be that way.
Yeah, it's supposed to be there. It's purposefully obnoxious. You're not supposed to like him. You're supposed to hate him.
Yep.
And it certainly accomplishes that. But so much good stuff in this show. We had a tough time picking out clips. We could have easily included three more clips in this episode.
Easily.
Yeah. We are obviously very complimentary about this one. We will rank it at the end of the show. Next up, comments from the news group. And like I said, a lot of good stuff. This is a really interesting stuff that I was not aware of. First up, something I don't know if you know about this, Matt.
No.
There's something called Simpsons Illustrated. First issue came out April 4th, 1991. It was kind of like a big magazine, kind of quarterly magazine/comic book thing that ran for 10 issues, released four times a year. It had 1 million circulation, which is a crazy number,
yeah.
Especially nowadays. But I think at the time it probably wasn't as crazy because magazines are obviously much bigger than the newspapers as well.
Right.
But it kind of was an accompaniment to the show. It had a mixture of things for adults and for kids. It had a the first issue included a copy of the Springfield Shopper, Bart's bedtime story told by Bart to Maggie, an official Simpsons Illustrated School Survival Handbook, included tactical tips on finding the best seat in class. This basically led to Bongo Comics, which is, you know, everything that they publish, all the Simpsons-esque comics plus Futurama comics and other stuff too.
Who owns Bongo Comics?
I think it's still Matt Groening.
Okay, good.
I think so. I mean, it's his empire. But this is the thing that really surprised me. Hey Arnold, the cartoon show of the 90s. I don't know. Did you watch Hey Arnold, Matt?
Just at the very beginning.
Yeah. I think you are just a bit too old to have caught it.
Yep.
I was right in its wheelhouse. Arnold, there was a comic called Arnold in this, and that's where Hey Arnold came from. His first appearance was in this Simpsons Illustrated, and then it went to Nickelodeon, which I enjoy myself some Hey Arnold, so that was a really interesting thing to find out. Also, they had a news. This is really funny coming straight off the release of Bart's Dog Gets an F.
Yeah.
But Tracy Ullman, this is from an article from like a few days after the release of this episode, an article in the LA Times where Tracy Ullman has filed a huge lawsuit against 20th Century Fox for royalties and profits from the Simpsons. Basically, she alleged that she deserved 5-10% of the royalties of the Simpsons and all the merchandise and all that stuff.
I still can't believe New Kids on the Block merchandise beat out the Simpsons and Teenage Mutant Turtles.
Well, you remember those things were kind of big, Matt, so.
I guess.
The Simpsons, at this, in 1998, Simpsons retail had been estimated merchandise sales, $750 million. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, $875. New Kids on the Block, $800. But at this point, had been reportedly renewed for another season. No kidding.
Yeah.
She was entitled to $2.5 million, estimated $50 million Fox made in 1992. Fox Network paid $58,000 in royalties for The Simpsons, as well as $3 million in the 3.5 seasons her show was on the air.
So she got some. Not a lot.
I can't speak to whatever happened I'm not privy to, but $3 million, I'm not going to start crying about that. But I think the timing is the most interesting thing,
yeah.
Is that the lawsuit comes out right after Bart's Dog Gets an F, in which she has made a guest appearance. But yeah, really interesting things. I love that Simpsons Illustrated. I'm going to have to hunt down those back issues on eBay or something. Let me see. I'm going to see if I can find out how much they cost. Let's see. How much does a Simpsons Illustrated full run cost? No, there's one for $3 on eBay.
That's not too bad.
I'm probably going to hunt all those down now that I know of them. But yeah, you guys can find all that all this stuff on the alt.tv.simpsons news group. It is currently on Google Groups. Google bought all those kind of old news groups and has archived them. You can just Google it. You'll find it. Really interesting stuff. And now, for the new segment that is the Rave of the Nation?
Sure.
Yeah, the Rave of the Nation, the No Google Trivia Challenge. This is our new segment for our second episode of every week, where Matt and I will quiz each other, we'll challenge each other with some trivia questions, one easy question, one medium question, one hard question, and see if we know. This is a no Google, so this is off the top of the Chrome Dome, off the top of the cranium, no help. Matt, I started off last week, you start off this week.
All right, are you ready for your easy question?
I'm ready.
All right, who is the leader of the Springfield Mafia?
Fat Tony.
What is Fat Tony's last name for bonus points?
I don't remember.
Fat Tony D'Amico.
That was not anywhere in my brain. I was not going to come up with that.
It was from the boxing episode where Homer boxes. He is at ringside tonight.
Fat Tony D'Amico. They actually say his full name.
They do. Okay. All right. Hey, do you remember what his son's name is?
Nope.
Neither do I. I know he asked him, but I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
All right, your turn.
Where does Marge hide the Christmas money?
In her hair.
Correct. That is correct.
In a jar. And it's stuffed and overflowing. It's great. All right. Are you ready for your medium question?
I am ready.
When Milhouse's parents, Kirk and Luann Van Houten, get divorced, what kind of bed does Kirk get?
A race car bed.
That is correct. What kind of bed do you sleep in? I sleep in a race car. I sleep in a big bed with my wife. Yes. All right.
You ready, Matt?
Yep.
What actor is Chief Wiggum based off of? Most famously known as Little Caesar, the role of Little Caesar, but
Edward G. Robinson.
Correct.
Okay, sorry, it took me forever to remember that name for some reason.
No.
All right. Go ahead. You ready for the hard one?
I guess so. We'll see. I couldn't get it last time. Let's see if we can get it.
I don't think this one is as hard.
Okay.
So, in the episode Bart the Fink, what is Krusty's new name?
Ooh.
Oh. He's got a signature with stars around it.
Oh. Oh, man.
He lives in Slip 8.
I know. I can picture everything. Oh. No, I can't come up with it. What is
All right.
It?
I'll give you his first name, Rory.
Rory B. Bellows.
That's correct.
Oh, that's not fair, though.
All right. Hit me.
I don't know. You may immediately get it, or you might be. It's a little tricky. Who was the first guest star to appear as themselves on The Simpsons?
Oh God! First,
It's in the second season. I'll give you that.
It's in the second season. It's probably not Ringo Starr, I would think. That's today's episode.
Right, not Ringo.
First person to appear as themselves. Well, without looking at a list of episodes, I couldn't tell you, so I'm not going to cheat or anything. So, who was it?
Is Tony Bennett?
No way! That was actually Tony Bennett in Dancing Homer.
Tony Bennett in Dancing Homer.
I'll be danged.
It's our lowest ranking second season episode so far. So,
well, you know,
I think it's going to be actually. I think looking at the episodes to come, I think it's going to end up with our lowest second season episode. But yes, Tony Bennett was the first guest star to appear as themselves on The Simpsons. It's a little tricky because you don't really, this is their first big get, I would say, to appear as themselves. They've had, and arguably our next episode is probably the biggest one they've had yet, but this is Tony Bennett. But yeah, you guys, we are still taking suggestions for variations on this segment. You can find us on our. I still have this vestigial feeling to plug social media after this segment. But yeah, if you'd like to recommend trivia questions or give us suggestions for a variant on this,
or themes, especially if you have a theme for the questions.
Yeah, that works as well. Any we'd like to hear it. I even the ones that I may not use, I do like to keep them in mind because they certainly do influence our way of thinking. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. You can find us on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. You can email us, simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Any of those places, we like to hear from you guys, please. Send us messages. Every time I hear something from you guys, I really enjoy it. I think it's time for our last segment. Segment we end every show with, it is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are compared to one another. Whew, this is a very good episode, Matt.
It really is. I mean, I thought Old Money was good, and then I watched this and I'm just like, wow, this is going to be way up there.
I hesitated, but I don't put it above Bart Gets Enough, though.
No, definitely not there, but it's getting up there.
Is it better than The Way We Was?
I gotta say no to that, but whether it's better than Homer versus Lisa and the Eighth Commandment, that's where I'm...
That's not a question to me. I think it's definitely better than...
You think Homer it's definitely better? Okay.
My only question is it better than The Way We Was?
I would say no, it's not better than The Way We Was, because I feel like The Way We Was, the nostalgia involved, it just kind of puts it over this one a little bit.
Yeah, and how it sets up so much of The Simpsons backstory and how they met and all that stuff, it works really well. I don't. It has character in spades in the same way this one does.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just it's more important, if it, that makes any sense.
That's true. It's important to the Simpsons canon.
But I think this is better than Homer vs. Lisa and the Eighth Commandment.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah, between John Lovitz, the incredible pacing, the sight gags, even the audio humor in this one, you could listen to this episode, it would still be really funny.
And yeah, and Ringo Starr. This is a great appearance. I hung it on me wall. But yeah. So new number 3, Brush with Greatness. Right behind The Way We Was. Right ahead of Homer vs. Lisa and the Eighth Commandment. Homer's honestly still in last place. Eventually, I'm sure it will make it out of there. I'm sure something will surpass it in the way in the basement, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Until we get to some really crappy clip show, that's going to be kind of tough.
I don't think we're going to count clip shows.
Oh, okay. Well, that's going to be a long time.
I don't even know if we're going to do the clip shows. I don't know us recounting.
Yeah, that probably won't work very well. But yeah, without that, it's probably going to wait to the manatee episode.
But what's next week, Matt?
Let's see. Next week. Are we sure about this? Is this list on Wikipedia correct? Because we're coming up on Lisa's Substitute.
Yeah, this is I'm anticipating this one being a contest for new number one.
Oh, I don't even know if it'll be a contest, to be honest, but we'll see.
I don't know. Rewatching Bart Gets an F and watching all these episodes come after it, I think there's a reason they let off with that episode this season. They really wanted to make an impact with it. It's a very, very, very good episode.
We'll have to watch both of them then.
I might have to rewatch it. But Lisa's Substitute, God. Lisa is... I know she's your favorite character.
Yeah.
And I think she's my favorite character as well, of the family, at least the core family members. And this is... I don't know if it's... It's very good. It's a very good episode. Dustin Hoffman. Oh, man. I'm excited to talk about it. But, next week, Lisa's Substitute, guys. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. Follow everything I do online there. You can also check out my comic book podcast. It's Hansel Boys Comics Hour, HanselBoysComicsHour.com. Matt does not participate in social media, so you will not find him.
No, but if you are able to get a hold of a space-based laser, you can carve some messages anywhere in Central Florida, and we'll probably end up seeing him on the news. So, good luck with that.
A space-based laser?
Of course. Doesn't everyone have one of those?
There's so many. Okay. call that a day. With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.